All right, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. We've been working on clematis here for a few years now, trying to understand the flowering of it in order to force it into flower in a one-year production cycle. Most of the work has been directed in recent years by Dr. Samara Kuhn, who will be starting a position at Ohio State this coming year. There's a lot of different types of clematis. We're working with one variety that works well in greenhouse production. It flowers on new wood. In fact, when you grow it under long days continuously, it basically flowers continuously, in that you have a shoot produced, terminal flower will form, maybe some secondary flowers will form underneath that terminal, and if you don't pinch that shoot off, a lateral will form underneath the flower, produce another shoot, which eventually produces another terminal flower, and it does that indefinitely. Or if it flowers and you cut it, it'll produce another shoot with another terminal flower. So under long days, it will flower continuously from new wood or old wood. So the traditional production cycle for clematis is 2 years, where you have a stock plant that you harvest cuttings from, typically in the summer. You're going to then propagate them. It takes about 10 weeks to propagate. And then you have continued growth through the remainder of that first growing season. The plants go dormant that first winter. And then the next growing season is a period of growth and bulking, and usually includes a regular trimming and commercial production so that the vines don't get out of control. So you're continually kind of trimming it back. And then that plant goes through a second dormancy vernalization treatment and then flowers the following spring. So the question that we're asking is, can we reduce that production cycle to 1 year rather than it being 2 years, to make it much more like an annual one, in a sense, and make it more efficient and less costly to produce? So what we're proposing is that you'd have a stock plant. Again, you produce cuttings, propagate them for 10 weeks, and then have this bulking or pre-vernalization treatment through the remainder of the summer, fall, go through one dormancy period and flower the plant the following spring. So you have basically a one-year cycle, one dormant period. So we've done a series of experiments that we'll talk about some of those today. We've also done a fair amount with propagation that we won't talk about today. But we've gotten where we can propagate these things pretty regularly, getting 80% plus rooting success. We don't ever really achieve 100%. But we're consistently 80% or higher. And actually, the biggest problem we have with these things actually is controlling FOMA, which is a fungal pathogen that inundates them pretty aggressively. And it's a real challenge commercially to deal with, but we won't talk about that today. So the first experiment is simply looking at the effect of vernalization and photoperiod on flowering, how to force these into flower, what environments that are required. And so the variety we're working with is HF Young, which is fairly compact for a clematis. It has beautiful large blue flowers and does well in container production. We vernalize these for 3, 0, 3, 6, or 9 weeks in a cooler, and then when we brought them out of the cooler, we put them under either short days, 9-hour day lengths, or long days, 16-hour day lengths. So visually what that is, the blue is the period of vernalization, so you have 0, 3, 6, or 9 weeks of cooling, followed by 9 or 16 hour day lengths, and then record flowering. And what we simply saw, what you see with a lot of perennials, is that the first graph on the left is total percentage of plants flowering as a function of the cold treatment. And as you can see, as the vernalization increases, the percentage flowering increase. We actually get 100% flowering if we have 6 to 9 weeks of vernalization, followed by long days. We actually have zero plants flowering if we have no vernalization and no short days. So the plant requires long days or vernalization for flowering. But if you have long days following vernalization, you can get 100% flowering. But either one of those stimuli will produce flowers. The number of shoots per plant increased primarily with how much vernalization they received. So 6 or 9 weeks of vernalization, and you have, these are 2-year-old plants that we did this experiment on, so we were getting 4 to 5 shoots per plant. The number of flowers per plant also increases with vernalization and with long days. Actually, that's per shoot per plant. And the number of days the first flower decreases with the number of weeks of vernalization and with long days if you don't have vernalization. So, and as you can see, actually there's a trend there that is not maximized. We've not saturated that flower number or days to flower. They're continuing to go up in the left and down on the right, which suggests that more vernalization would probably be better. Commercially, 8 weeks is recommended, but we should probably do further experiments at more than 9 weeks. And we certainly have seen that when we've compared our controlled environment, cooler vernalized plants versus when we vernalize plants outside. The natural winter vernalization seems to give us plants that flower faster and with more flowers than what we've seen. So additional vernalization is probably, it's not required for sure. We can get 100% flowering and adequate flowering, but we could probably do better with more than 9 weeks. So, all right, the second experiment we did was looking at the effect of temperature on shoot development and flowering. And simply with these plants, we removed the shoots at the base of the plant so that we only got underground buds. We weren't getting shoots from axillary buds, which in general tends to be a good thing with these plants. The shoots we get from axillary buds actually produce cuttings that root better and shoots that are more vigorous than if we pinch above ground and get shoots from axillary buds, above ground buds. So this shows you the in the middle, the plants that have been cut off, and on the right, are a plant with all the soil washed off. You can see the roots and the crown buds developing on those shoots. So we simply grew plants at 21 and 26 degrees under long days in growth chambers. And simply what we saw was that if you increased the warmer temperatures, gave you longer shoots, gave you more nodes, but gave you fewer shoots per plant. You actually have more shoots with cooler temperatures. The time to flowering was longer with cool temperatures, but you had more flowers per plant. So you had nearly 5 flowers per plant versus 2 flowers per plant with the cooler temperatures. So what this suggested was that for finished plant production, cooler temperatures are certainly better for getting more flowers on shorter shoots, which is good for finished production. But for stock plant production, the warmer temperatures are probably beneficial in that you got fewer flowers, more vegetative plant. So in terms of cutting production, the warmer temperature probably ideal. So then the third experiment that we'll show you today is looking at the pre-vernalization period, the bulking period, and looking at photoperiod during that. Because what we were doing was we were trying to push these plants as hard as we could. We would grow them under long days and then immediately go to a vernalization treatment. So we're trying to just push them with long days, not let them really go dormant like they would in nature with experiencing short days in the fall. Keep them under long days and then provide a vernalization treatment. And what we were seeing was we weren't getting the branch number that we were expecting to get on the plants after vernalization. So we did an experiment looking at the photoperiod prior to vernalization and how that affected shoot development. So just to note that the buds that emerge in the spring, the crown buds are formed prior to vernalization, but they come out better as a result of vernalization. And so the question is, can the pre-vernalization environment influence shoot production and flowering? And just to give you a picture, the one on the left is a little bit dark, but that's a one-year-old crown where there's just two shoots coming off the top of that, and there's really not a crown to speak of. There's just very little stem tissue at the top of the roots, but this is where the crown buds are formed. On the right, where you have a lot of a proliferation of shoot, that's a three-year-old crown. So we're really, to get a nice finished plant in the spring, we're trying to bulk up that crown as much as possible so that we get nice branching, good shoot production following the cold treatment. So the experiment was simply we propagated cuttings in May, and then we grew them for 12 weeks basically through the summer months, and then started treatments in September and put the plants under either long days or short days for different durations, and then brought them out and flowered them. Then followed a vernalization treatment and then flowered them. So visually, what you have on the left is the pre-vernalization photo periods, 9 hours or 16 hours for 4, 8, or 12 weeks, followed by a period of vernalization, which for all the treatments was an 8-week vernalization period. And then once they came out of vernalization, we immediately put them under long days to flower. So that was the post-vernalization treatment. We also took some plants, the control, where they didn't, they immediately in September went under, they were cut back to the soil and then put under long days and allowed to flower. And then we had plants that we just kept outside from September through February to compare to also. So, and I'll show you just the significant treatments to keep this simple. This, and what we're primarily looking for, the big issue was number of shoots. We're trying to get good branching on these plants in the spring so that we have adequate plant to sell in the spring. So if we just have one or two shoots on a 1 gallon clematis, it's a bit iffy whether that's an acceptable quality plant. So we really want to have 3 or 4 shoots on average. So if we take the plants with an immediately or one control where there's no vernalization and we just put the plants under long days after cutting them back, we only got one shoot. If we vernalize them, the 0-week treatment, so we grow the plants through 12 weeks through the summer, and then come September, we vernalize them for 8 weeks and then put them under long days. You can see we increase shoot production. But if we proceed the vernalization treatment with 8 or 12 weeks of short days, we actually get some pretty decent shoot number. 3 or 4 is a decent number. So short days prior to vernalization improved shoot emergence quite nicely. So our proposed production cycle then is this. If we are wanting a plant at Clemson in South Carolina, we're looking at, say, an April 1 market day where we like to have these things in flower. And we're looking at 7 weeks in the forcing or the greenhouse environment for flowering. Then we work back 7 weeks from April 1st. That puts us starting, coming out of vernalization, going under long days mid-February. We need approximately 9 weeks of vernalization. That takes us back to mid-December. We want to have short days prior to vernalization. 8 weeks is what our data suggested. 4 weeks was inadequate. So that puts us back starting short days October 22nd, and then we needed, in our experiment we showed, we had 16 weeks of long days prior to going under short days for bulking, and that takes us back to a early July transplant date out of propagation, and then 10 weeks for propagation. That takes us back to mid-April, so we have basically a one-year cycle. And then get producing a plant that's going to have potentially 3 or 4 shoots per plant. So if that's not adequate, the other potential thing, and since we don't get 100% rooting in propagation, perhaps another approach to this too would be to put 2 cuttings in a cell, and then you're going to have 2 growing in most, and so you're going to have better shoot production, but then you should have 100% or awfully close to that fill coming out of propagation. So the challenge with this cycle is that, if we're looking at trying to force these plants for April or May flowering, then that means we're needing to propagate cuttings starting in April or May, a year in advance. Well, where do you get cuttings in April and May? If you're growing your own stock plants, that means you would have to have them in a heated greenhouse to have vining plants, which I doubt many people would want to do, unless you're in perhaps Florida could do it. So what we're proposing is that we'd like to see some of the offshore cutting suppliers try clematis as a unrooted cutting crop along with all the other perennials that are produced offshore these days. It's a challenging vines are always a challenge in horticulture. Producing stock plants is a challenge. So, and the yield, cutting yield is not real high, but it would be interesting to see if this fits into offshore cutting production. Am I done or do I have a minute? All right. So then our conclusions are, for stock plant production, I think offshore cutting production may be necessary for this one-year crop cycle. We're looking at for better cutting propagation and quality, long days, warm temperatures for that stock plant environment. For propagation, we're suggesting two cuttings may be the way to go to improve branch number and propagation success. For the bulking period, we're looking at about 24 weeks of bulking, 16 of which are under long days, 8 weeks under short days, or the traditional thing, having two summer production bulking seasons does the same thing. And then finally, vernalization for 9 weeks plus, and then finishing under long days and relatively cooler temperatures for flower performance. So with that, I have time for a question.
David, I have one question.
Dr. Hines, before you raise your hand.
Can you go back to your schedule, your one-year schedule?
I'll try to.
In the bulking section, there you say 16 weeks through late October. If you were actually doing this, would you light the crop?
Yeah.
Until that point, you would not let natural photo periods.
Right. Right, because for us, you know, they start slowing down significantly in later September, and so I guess I don't have great data, but what I would recommend is, yeah, you do long days up until that point to continue to bulk that plant. Yeah, because you're going to have 8 weeks of short days will be sufficient for the carbohydrates to be sent down to the crown.
Short days are natural, that time of
year. That it certainly could be, yes.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, I have